New Year's is always a mixed bag. There's the joy of gathering with family and friends, but there's also people missing and awareness that others might not be there next year. And of course, this holiday season, it comes on the heels of the atrocity at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. Before that, the devastation of Hurricane Sandy. So how to celebrate when hearts are heavy and how to find meaning in a year like 2012? On Monday, New Year's Eve, we're going to speak with The New Yorker's Adam Gopnik, who does see glimmers of hope in the events of the past year. But today we turn to another favorite guest, Bruce Feiler, who's written about faith in books like Walking the Bible, also about his own struggle with and recovery from cancer. He joins us today from his hometown, Savannah, Georgia. In fact, his childhood home where he's visiting ailing parents. That's another shadow for a lot of people. Bruce, welcome back to Here and Now.
It's great to be with you, Robin.
And, you know, when we reached out to see, do you have any thoughts about this tough year we're leaving behind? You said you've been thinking about this a lot. Why?
Well, as you know, I've spent the last few years working on a new project about families, a book called The Secrets of Happy Families that will be out in a few weeks. And one of the families that I chronicle in my book lives in Newtown, Connecticut.
Stop.
We were actually talking about sex and how to talk to your children about those kinds of issues, and their children are older, but I reached out to that mom in the wake of the tragedy of Newtown. I just sent her a short note. One of the things I did learn as someone who was sick was just sometimes a simple, I'm thinking about you, is a great gesture. You don't have to write too much. And she wrote back something that was very poignant, Robin. She said, it's so much worse than even the media can portray. Hug your children close. And I think in that formula really is one of the ways that I have thought about this and one of the things that we know about difficult situation. There is a lot of research. One of the things that the happiness research has shown in the last few years is that people respond to difficult times. Some people really are devastated and never recover. And surely some of the people who've had this happen in their immediate family, we know parents who lose children have a high divorce rate, and it can be long-term devastating. But a lot of people come back, and an extraordinary number of these people actually experience psychological growth. This is actually, this phenomenon has a name now. It's called post-traumatic growth. What that is about is sometimes how we respond to a difficult situation. We fight back. We get closer to our family. We draw in as a community. We return to our spirituality. And it is that sense of agency, that sense of doing something in the face of a difficult circumstance that allows us to feel like we have actually grown and turned an awful thing into a potentially positive thing.
Well, you know, Bruce, I'm sitting here, I still am trying to wrap my brain around the fact that you were chronicling a family from Newtown, Connecticut for a book on happiness in families before this awfulness, you know, visited this town. And so you had this insight. I mean, that's just quite something. But yeah, I can, Bruce, hear people getting almost a little bit angry at what you're saying, as if, you know, this idea that, all right, we might potentially grow and become closer and be burnished. I always use the word burnished. And hug our children or other people's children if you don't have any, or each other, you know, and that there will be room for growth. I can hear that making someone angry who feels that that's sort of, I don't know, almost an opiate for the masses, you know, that idea that you'll be richer and deeper afterwards. They don't feel that way. And they also feel that that might, you know, maybe spackle over any change that they feel has to come. You know what I'm saying? They're more angry about the events than even sad.
One of the things I learned spending time in Newtown is it's an incredibly close community. It's up there kind of in a forgotten pocket of Northwest Connecticut, and it's a very close town. It's actually a Catholic town. There's a lot of spirituality in that town. We know there to be a deep correlation between spirituality and happiness, between spirituality and resilience. But let me just talk about this anger question that you've raised. I mean, I'm not talking about something that might happen. I'm talking about something that has been proven in social science to happen, which is that people respond. I mean, one of the things that I wrote about in my book is about family reunions. And I spoke to the editor of Reunions magazine, and she told me that she assigned this article about why it is that 100 million Americans go to a family reunion every year. And she assigned a young reporter from her magazine, and the reporter came back, slammed down the phone, and said, you know what, I'm tired of reporting this because I keep hearing the same story. And the story is people gather on difficult family circumstances, like a funeral, and they realize, you know what, we want to gather under happier circumstances. So I'm talking about a phenomenon that actually happens. Now, you mentioned the cancer, and you and I have spoken about that.
And your cancer, yes.
My cancer, yeah. I had an osteosarcoma, which is a pediatric cancer. I had it in my mid-40s, and I wrote a book about how I responded by reaching out to a group of friends and asking them to form a support group for my kid. But one of the things that was kind of a key message of this is, how do you get that experience of closeness and recovery and resilience without going through the, frankly, the hell that I went through in order to get it? And that is a core message in literature, in poetry. What is the Bible? The Bible is a chronicle of what happened to these people, the Israelites, when they were going through the desert, when they were enslaved. I used to say that the Bible is like a literary moon rock, that it is this chronicle of the pain and suffering and resilience that those people experienced. And in the same way it used to be, you touch the moon rock, you know, you see the moon rock, you get a sense of what it's like on the moon. When we read that story that people have read for 3,000 years, you in effect touch that experience that the people were having in the desert. So the truth is, we do like to touch pain, other people's pain, so that we can then respond to that and draw closer to the people around us.
So it sounds as if you're saying, you know, the way to find meaning and, as you say, resilience in the end of such a terribly sad and catastrophic in many ways year is to what? Not be afraid of the pain, touch the pain?
I think touch the pain is one way of saying it. I mean, in my glibber moments, I sometimes say to myself that the best way to feel happier is to encounter death every day. You know, what it does, it kind of puts a floor underneath you. As a cancer survivor, that's what I feel. I have these years. This week happens to be the four-year anniversary of my surgery. There's the day that I was diagnosed with cancer. People go and visit gravesides. People have anniversaries. 9/11 is a national moment where we come together. December 7th was that for a long time. When you have these anniversaries, these regular occasions in the course of your calendar, it gets you out of your routine, touches back to something maybe historical, something personal, something sad, that in effect it becomes like a floor under which I cannot somehow go, even in the face of difficulty.
So one of the things I'm hearing is, as we head towards 2013, don't be running away from December 14th, 2012. You know, it's a date we want to remember.
I don't believe that we need to escape that. We have this kind of, oh, let's be happy, happy in this culture. But yet that is somehow not what our human experience is like. The line frequently mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, the line most in the first five books is, we were once strangers in a land with no hope. And that's what a story of hope means. That's what its renewal is all about, that we once suffered and there can be a better way. So what do we say at the end of the Passover Seder? Next year in Jerusalem. So as we approach a new year, from my point of view, that's a great phrase that echoes. Next year it's going to be better. We know we're not going to achieve all our dreams. We're not going to achieve our promised lands. All these religious stories, and every religion has one, is a story of coming up short. But yet it's the idea that there can be a better tomorrow. That's what keeps us moving forward.
Bruce Feiler, his upcoming book, as he said, is The Secrets of Happy Families. It'll be out in February. We look forward to that. Bruce, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Simple words.
Yeah. So as we grieve 2012, on Monday, Adam Gopnik on the hope he saw in this past year. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend, and please join us then, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.